Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 39. Hymn number 39. Done this as a special a couple different times. I think we sang it as a congregation a couple times too, and we'll try to sing it as it's written, but no promises. The third verse there towards the end, the second half of the second to the last line. Yep, the battle has been won. Jesus has died. God is satisfied, though the wonders of His grace. Sing hymn number 36. I'm pretty sure I've never led this on guitar, but I'm going to try it. I didn't work on an intro, so we're just going to get right to it. Hey, mighty fortress is our God. Of course.
Good evening. If you would, let's turn to the book of Psalm. We'll read Psalm 63 together. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray. Our most high and merciful Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we come unto thy throne in his name, Lord. Through the work of the cross that he shed his blood for our sins. We ask thee to be with us this evening in the house of worship, that we may not worship thee in vain, Lord. Send thy spirit. Be with the speaker tonight, Lord, Brother Donnie, as he expounds the word and glorify Christ. May you lift him up. We ask thee to be with all the sick of the congregation. Be a comfort to them. For this be thy will. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 326.
Saving for the sea, more. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And Lord willing, the next Sunday night I'm going to start preaching out of Romans. And I'm going to do it on Sunday night and Wednesday night both till I get through it. But I told the men back there, I said, I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you. Then I'm going to tell you, you know, that's the way it goes. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And that's what I'm going to do, the same thing tonight. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you what I told you. Let's look here in Romans chapter 5 and deal with these first six verses. Well, eight verses, really. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we glory in tribulations, in our troubles also, knowing that our troubles, our tribulations, it works patience. You wait on God. And patience, as you wait on God and you go through these trials, you wait on God. And then this patience will bring you experience. God brought you through it. And this experience, it will give you a hope that you'll get through the next one. And this hope that we have maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely or rarely would a righteous man will one die. Yet maybe even for a good man, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know this, that wherever I'm going to talk about grace transforming us. Where the grace of God comes, it brings salvation, and it also brings a transformation. Colossians 1 says this, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, fit, and able to dwell in the light, saints' light, in the light of Christ. For He hath saved us, delivered us, saved us from the power of darkness, and translated us and put us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So here you are in darkness. Here you're not fit, you're not able to dwell with the saints in light. So God saves us out of that power of darkness, puts us over here in the kingdom of light. So you're coming out of darkness into light. You're coming from death to life. Now you tell me that won't transform you? Huh? That's a real transformation, ain't it? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. It transforms, the grace of God, when it comes, it transforms a person's character. Their character is not the same. Their character is not the same. It transforms all their relationships. And we have a lot of relationships in this world. But it transforms a person's character. And you have so many people illustrated in the Bible that do that. You know, we have this meanness and cruelty about us without God, without Christ. And then Christ changes our character. Changes us into people that's believers. And that we hope to be kind and loving and gracious and help one another. But it transforms our character. And it also, grace, when it comes, it transforms all of our relationships. Our relationships change. They do. And the Scriptures are plain. They're clear. They're emphatic about us being new creatures. New creatures. We're created in Christ Jesus. And being in Christ Jesus, we're created new creatures. New creations. And you know, when a person's brought into, when God regenerates us, He brings into existence a person that never was there before. You know, He brings into existence a new man. You still got the old one. He brings in a new one. A person that's, this new man is a new creation. God does this. He's the only one that can do it. And I tell you, and it talks not only about that, but us being partakers of the divine nature. Oh my. that we cease to be our own, but we're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. We're not our own anymore. We belong to Christ. And I want to look at this statement here in verse 2, Romans 5:2. And I want to talk about this grace wherein we stand. He says, you know, by whom we also, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I want to talk about this grace wherein we stand. And look at how this grace changes our relationships. And the first relationship it changes in us is our relationship with God Almighty, with God the Father. Look what it says there in verse 1. Here's the first thing it does. It changes our relationship with God. When God brings grace, the first thing it does changes our relationship. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, that's a new relationship. We have peace with God. There was a time we didn't have peace with God. There was a time we didn't know anything about God. Look over it and you keep Romans 5. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Look in Colossians chapter 1. You know, it's not always been that way. It's not always been that way. And people think that they can make their own peace with God. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, look what it says. Well, we're no longer enemies in our minds. And that's what the Scripture says here in Colossians 1, 21. And you that were sometime alienated. Alienated. And enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's why we're enemies of God, by our wicked works. And yet now hath He reconciled. Oh my, no longer enemies in our mind. And here's the thing about it. Not only if we have peace with God, but God's at peace with us. That's what I love. That God's not mad. God's not angry. I'm thankful that I have peace with Him. I'm thankful that He's not angry at me. I'm thankful that He's not mad at me. But I am more grateful that I have peace with Him, but that He has peace with me. And He's the one that made the peace. We didn't make peace. Oh no, Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. We ain't won a war since World War II. We've been in three or four wars. And we was in two at one time here in the last few years. We've not won a war except World War II. And they brought the unconditional peace is what we demanded that they do. And I tell you what, God Himself comes, and we was His enemy. And what He did is He comes and He took away that enmity and that enemy that we had in our minds and done away with it and made peace with us. How did He do it? Through the blood of His blessed cross. Huh? I thank God I have peace with Him, but I'm more happy that He has peace with me. It'd be awful. I remember when I thought God was mad at me. I was all the time trying to get on His good side. I tried to dress certain ways, tried to pray certain so much, and, you know, tried to give so much, tried everything in the world to get God to be happy with me. None of it worked. But when I realized that Christ made peace, then I understood believing on Christ, being justified by faith, now I got peace with God, and God has peace with me. In fact, He's called the God of peace. Oh, no longer under the wrath of God. No longer strangers, but sons. And I tell you, we didn't make this peace. Christ did, our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's our first relationship. Our relationship with God the Father changes. It changes. Here's the second thing. Our relationship, when grace comes, it changes our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ too. It really changes us. Paul said, I knew Christ after the flesh. He said, I did. One time I knew Christ after the flesh. What does that mean? I knew Him with my flesh and Him as a flesh. I only knew Him by nature. I know that He was Jesus. I know that He was a man. I know that He lived. But I just knew Him after my flesh. But He said, oh my, when the grace of God come, I no longer knew Him after the flesh. I knew Him by the Spirit. And that's how we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We look what it says down here in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, where did we get our strength from? The disgrace wherein we stand. And look what it says in verse 8. Oh, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, look what man will do. Man, you know, he'll go around here and he said, maybe, just scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet maybe for a good man, but there was no good man around. And yet maybe for a good man was there to die. But God's not that way. He didn't see a righteous man. He didn't see a good man. He saw His blessed Son. And I tell you, His blessed Son, He's the one that come and done something for us. Christ died for us. Look what He says in verse 25 of Romans chapter 4. Christ was delivered up for our offenses, for our sins, how offensive He was to God, raised for our justification. And oh my. Now look with me over here. And you know, our relationship with Christ our Lord changed. Look with me down here in verse 12. I want you to see this. You know, there's two men in the world that God deals with, Adam and Christ. And He said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. That's how sin come, by this one man and that one sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Well, how in the world are we going to get life? And oh, look what it says down here in verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now listen to this now. So the obedience of one man shall many, many be made righteous. And so our righteousness comes by Him. Ever with our justification. Look back here, if you will, look with me in verse 9 and 10. Oh, listen, it changes our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, His blood justifies us. Look what it says in verse 9. If God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If He died for us, while we were yet sinners, and God showed His love for us that way, much more then, if you think that's something, much more than being now justified. How? By His blood. And then what happens then? We're saved from wrath. How? Through Him. And then look what He says. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. If His death reconciled us and brought us to God and took God's enmity away and made peace between us and God, if His death done that, much more, again it says, being reconciled, if He saved us by His death, how much more shall we live while He's living? Because He lives. You see what that says? We shall be saved by His life. If His death reconciled us, if His death put away our sin, then how much more shall we live because He lives? Oh my, if we believe God's, I'll tell you something. Death reconciled us to Him. His righteousness is given to us. And it's by Him. It says there, by Him. In verse 2, by Him also we have access into this grace. The only way we have record of being in the grace of God is we believe the record of God's grace concerning His blessed Son. We're rejoiced to be in Christ. It changed our relationship with Christ. Here's the third thing it changes our relationship, where this grace comes and grace wherein we stand. It changes our relationship to the Holy Ghost too, to the Holy Spirit. Look what it says there in verse 5. Now then, I want you to know this grace, that's what I'm talking about. Grace changes all these relationships. Until grace came, we didn't have a relationship with the Father. We thought we did. We didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. There was no relationship between us and the Holy Spirit. But look what He said here in verse 5. Oh, it changed our relationship to Him. And He's a person. And hope maketh us not ashamed. Here's the reason. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You know, when He is given unto us and He comes into our hearts, you know, it's when our Lord ascended back to heaven, He told His disciples, said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And you know what happened when they got up on the day of Pentecost, started preaching? The Holy Ghost come on them. And the Spirit of God come on them. And they began to preach, and 3,000 souls got saved that day. The Spirit of God come, and that the gospel and the love of God and the power of God come in a miraculous way. And I tell you, He shed abroad, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? Somebody else had to do it, and the Holy Spirit had to do it. And He was given unto us. He was given unto us. Look over with me, keep this, and look in John chapter 14. I believe it's what I want to look at. John chapter 14. He was given unto us. You know, the Holy Ghost that was shed abroad in our heart, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit's given to us. Grace is given to us. He's the one given to us. Oh, what was He given to us to do? Well, first, He's given to us by promise. Secondly, He's given to us to teach us. Thirdly, He is given to us to guide us. Fourthly, He is given to us to comfort us. Fifthly, He is given to us to shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. The love of God. How we see the love of God? The Holy Ghost in us, the Holy Spirit in us, shows us the love of Christ. But look what He said in John 14. I think it's, 16. It's our Lord speaking now. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. You see how that's capitalized? That's talking about the Holy Spirit. A Comforter. You know, when Christ was with them, He was their Comforter. He was their Comforter. Christ said, I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I'm not going to leave you without someone to love you, care for you, and someone to comfort your heart, comfort through your troubles, comfort through your tears, be a comfort to you while you're living in this world. And He goes on to say, that He may abide with you, how long? Forever. And listen to this, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit do nothing but bring the truth. He is the Spirit of Truth. And the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth. You know why? Because it don't see Him. It don't see Him. It don't see Him. And it can't possibly know Him, the Holy Spirit. But you know Him. We know the Holy Spirit. We recognize Him. He's the one that taught us about Christ. He's the one that showed us the things of Christ. And look what He says, for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And I will not leave it you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, how did He come to us? He comes by the Holy Ghost in us. And look what else He goes on to say. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you're going to see me. How are we going to see? Because I live, ye also shall live. How are we going to see? The way we see Him right now. By the Holy Spirit. Huh? By the Holy Spirit. He's the one who witnesses to us being saved. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're what? The children of God. I've heard different people say, and I've heard preachers say, and I say it myself. When I'm sitting hearing somebody preach, dealing with the Word of God, preaching the gospel, preaching with Christ, it blesses me more than anything that I can enjoy in this world. When I sit and listen to somebody else do it, I get more assurance, I get more comfort, and I get evidence that I truly belong to Christ. That I really am one of God's children. You know, He bears witness that we're the sons of God. We wouldn't know we're sons if the Holy Ghost didn't let us know. We wouldn't know Christ if the Holy Ghost didn't let us know. We would never understand what sin is if it had not been the Holy Ghost. And oh my, He's the one to witness as being the Son of God. You know, God's eternal. Oh my God, He brought to us and comforts us Christ's love for us. God's eternal love shed abroad in our heart. His electing love shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, He done it. So we have a relationship, new relationship with the Holy Spirit. A fellow asked me the other day, he said, what do you think about speaking in tongues? I said, well, I don't think it's scriptural. I don't think it's scriptural. He said, so this stuff that people call speaking in tongues is not real? And I said, no, it can't possibly be. What happened was when the apostles, this is what the Holy Ghost does. When the apostles was preaching, God gave them the ability to, if they went to France and they was from Jews and they spoke Hebrew, God, if they went into Spain or France or anywhere else, God would bless them to speak in French and everybody would understand what they had to say. Wherever they went, they could preach in those people's language. God, that's what language, that's what it meant. They was not an unknown tongue. And then when you talk about an unknown tongue, that means it's unknown to the person listening. Now, if I go to Mexico and I get up and preach like I'm preaching now, they won't understand one word I'm saying. Why? Until somebody interprets it for me. Somebody's got to interpret it. And if I go somewhere and I sit down and somebody's preaching, somebody's got to interpret for me so I can understand what they're saying. But that's what the Holy Ghost does for us. He takes the things of Christ and He interprets them for us. He brings them to us. And when the love of God's in our hearts, where do you think that come from? That's not natural to us. It didn't come to us. How did it do it? God in Christ comes and dwells in us by the Holy Ghost, and the love of God shed abroad. Oh, let's shed abroad to who? Everybody I'm preaching to tonight. I love, my heart spread, just reaches out to all of them. And your heart reaches from inside you to me. You reach out to me. And you love. Huh? I think I've said enough about that. Now let's talk about law, a new relationship to law. New relationship to law. Look down here in Romans 5 and verse 20. Verse 20. Let me tell you something about the law. When he talks about the law, he's talking about not just the Ten Commandments, but all the rituals and all the blessings. You know, in Deuteronomy 30, it talks about all the blessings that God will give you if you obey the law. And if you don't, Deuteronomy 31 says all the curses that will be brought on you if you don't keep this law over here. Keep all of it. Well, I tell you what. Look what he says. Moreover, in verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, every one of us at one time or another have tried to live under law. Every one of us at one time or another have been a legalist. We actually thought that we could quit sin, that we could live without sin, that we could overcome sin. And here's the thing about it. If you bring law to somebody, there's two things happen. They'll get mad at you, and you'll get mad at them. And that's the way, when God brought the law, He said it works anger. When God brings the law, Paul said, I had not known sin. I didn't have a clue what sin was until the law said. What did it say? You shall not covet. Paul said, well then, sin. I was all of a sudden, I was aware of sin. Never had been aware of it before. Didn't know what it was until the law come. And the law, I've used this so many illustrations so many times. You married folks, when you get to the house tonight, you lay down the law to your wife and tell her what you want her to do. And you, if you don't do all of it, you're in trouble. Now, see how long that goes. You know what will happen? She'll get mad at you, and you'll get mad at her. When she don't obey you, you'll get mad at her, and she'll get mad at you. And that's all the law can do is make you mad. And the law makes you mad. It makes you angry with God and makes God angry with you. The law comes to show us by the law is the knowledge of sin. These people that try to be lawkeepers, you know, I've met several of them. There's been folks here before that come, and they told me about living under the law. Called me an antinomian, but listen, I'm telling you, if you bring one law, one rule to bear on Lord's people, just one, I guarantee you, they'll fail before the day's out. All it'll do. And that's why the law come. You know when we became sinners? When the law came. You know, if a fella decides, say, well, I'm going to live right, I'm going to start living right, and I'm going to start doing good, and I'm going to start today, and I'm not going to never sin again. You let somebody do that. If they could do it, let them do it. But here's the problem. What are you going to do with everything happening in your life up to that time you started? That's got to be dealt with. Well, how do you know you're a sinner? God said, you are. And the law said that you are. And if you break one, offend in one point, that's what people say. Well, I haven't committed that. That's what the Pharisee says. I have not. Their whole life is about negatives. I've not done this, and I've not done that, and I've not done another thing. That's all it was about, what I didn't do. But what about what Christ did? It don't matter what we didn't do. It's what Christ did. Because the best we ever didn't do, our righteousness as a filthy rag, and Christ is the only one that can do something about it. So the law comes, moreover the law entered, that our sin may utterly abound. Abound. And oh, but look what he says next. But where sin abounded. Oh, where sin abounded. Oh, it abounded in me. Oh, how much it abounded in me, but where sin abounded, grace come. It abounded so much more. Oh, that law says you're guilty, but grace comes along and says, no, you ain't. I deal with that. Grace comes along and says, listen, I dealt with that sin. Grace comes along and says, listen, I put your sin away. That's what this grace, that changes our relationship. It, you know, condemned and guilty. And here's the thing about it. A person may not feel guilty and may not feel condemned, but that does not negate the fact that they're guilty and they're condemned. Now, how do we get out from under that condemnation? Only through Christ. Oh, my. We're not under its curse. Sin finds its strength in the law. Just lay down the law and you'll find out how strong sin is. And oh, my, you'll see what I mean. You know, I'll give you another illustration about the law. You know, when people get married and then they get in a fight and then they start fighting and then they end up in divorce, you know why it is? Because of law. One of them won't live like the other wants them to. And so they go to the law, and that law is the only thing they've got to save them. And that law, and I'm talking about the natural law out here in the world, but it's because they can't live together. And you know, where there's grace, you can live together. If you're under the law, you ain't going to make it very long. You ain't going to do it. And we're not under it as a curse. Oh my, very few people can bear someone having authority over them. And I tell you, when our hatred and resistance and struggle and murmuring is proof of sin. Proof of sin. And oh, look, I tell you, when I talk about the law, look what it says over here. In Romans 6:14, I want you to see this. We're not under law. Thank God we're not under law. Oh, my. I heard a fella preaching one time. I know I told you this. I'm sure I have. He was preaching about our two righteousness. We have a righteousness of our own. And then Christ has a righteousness. And so you got to walk this tightrope, you know, because if you go too much to the righteousness of Christ, you'll become an antinomian. You'll be without law. And if you go too far this way, you'll become self-righteous. Do you reckon that'd work? Oh, my goodness. But we're not under law, but under grace. Look what it says here in verse 14. You know, here's the thing about it. When you try to be saved by law, that's what, when we was legalists and fundamentalists, all we could do was just, we just went around feeling awful all the time because we couldn't live the way we wanted to. We just felt miserable all the time. I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there. You had to dress a certain way. I was telling Shirley on the way over, I said, you couldn't go to ball games. You couldn't go to a picture show, and you And you had to, women had to dress a certain way, and women couldn't wear breeches, you know, and we'd go to the law to prove it. And all that rigmarole. Fella asked a fella one time, years ago, back in fundamentalists are so strong. He said, asked the preacher, said, do you all have mixed bathing? He said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, do you bathe? They have mixed bathing. He said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about swimming. Do you men and women swim together? You know, because, you know, that'd be the awful sinful thing in the world. You don't know. Women get out of poop by swimming. And that's what. Now, that there is law. That's putting a burden on people that nobody can bear. You know, and when you put a burden on somebody and say, you can't go here, you can't go there, You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't play cards and you can't go to a ball game and you can't whoop and you can't holler and you can't wear pants and you can't, oh listen, all you fellas wear all that makeup and all, you know, listen, it was awful. And you know what it did? It just made sin that much stronger. We could not get out from under it. But look what happens here now. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It ain't going to come and put a heavy hand on you. Why? Because you're not under law. Why are you then? Under grace? Oh, well, since we're under grace, this is what they say. Well, this is what people accuse us of. What then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, under grace. Oh, God forbid. You know, I'll tell you what grace does for us. We're not under the law as a covenant, as a curse, and under its condemnation. We're under the reign of grace. Grace gives us life. Grace gives us liberty. Grace gives us love. Oh, my. Oh, the reign now, instead of sin reigning over us, Christ in grace reigns and abounds through us and in us. Oh my, now we're free. Not to sin, free to worship God. Free to call on God. Free to come in here and worship. Free to come in here. We got liberty. And we're going to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Oh my, grace wherein we stand changes our relationship to the power of sin. Sin ain't going to have dominion over you. His blood cleanses us from guilt. Where the guilt is gone, the shame is gone. And if there ain't no guilt, then there's no sin. And I tell you what, it's been I hope you understand what I'm saying. I don't know the last time that I felt guilty over anything I've done. You know why? Because guilt is gone. If there ain't no sin, there ain't no guilt. And when you really truly understand that there ain't no sin, then there can't be any guilt. The only reason you'd ever be guilty of something and feel guilt is if you don't truly understand what Christ did for you when He put away all your sin. You say, you know, but you do sin, don't you? I do. I do. I've sinned enough while I'm preaching tonight to damn me forever if it wasn't for Christ. But I'm telling you, here's what I'm telling you. If Christ puts your sin away, then the guilt's gone. So the only reason guilt would come back is because you feel like you've done something wrong, and then you've got to go back and have that guilt taken care of again. The guilt's been taken care of. Well, I tell you what. Well, let me give you another one. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's look over here and I'll wind this up. I don't know how long I've been preaching. But oh my, we're not under law, but under grace. That's the first thing people accuse. People who really, 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 really believe grace and live by grace and saved by grace. One of the first things they accuse you of, well, you believe you can just live any way you want to. You can just lie, steal, cheat, do all those kind of things. But oh no. No, I said it changed our character. We're made new creatures. We're not what we was. We're not what we're going to be. But bless God, we're a lot different than what we were when we was lost. And I'm so thankful to that. Ain't you? I'm thankful that I don't hate God anymore and God don't hate me. I'm thankful that I'm not mad at God and God's not mad at me. I'm thankful that all the sin I've committed in my life and all the sin I'll commit for I live this world has all been taken care of by Christ. When He died 2,000 years ago, He put away all my sin till the day I enter glory. Am I going to sin? Yes, I am. Am I going to say, Lord, have mercy on me? Lord, I'm sorry? Yes, I am. But the guilt don't come with it. You know why? Because I understand what Christ has done. If we really believe that, I don't know how else to say it. I don't. And then look what He said here in Galatians 1:4. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Who gave Himself our sins that He might save us, deliver us from this present evil world. What's this present evil world where we're at right now? Right now, where we're at right now. Oh, my. Listen. Save us from this present evil world. How did He do it and why did it? According to the will of God our Father. Paul said we once walked according to the course of this world. Oh, my. We walked in this world. We loved this world. We delighted in the world. But now we just—it's a burden to us. But we've been chosen out of the world. We've been called out of the world. We've been redeemed out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Oh, we don't think like they do. We don't act like they do. We don't want the same things that they do. I don't want the things the world wants. The world wants recognition. The world wants power. The world wants wealth. The world wants wisdom. The world wants to have everything. Everything all it wants. And they'll do whatever it's, they'll climb over one another's back to get what they want. And we're not like that. No, we're not like that. No, we're not of the world. You know what's in this world? Everything but God and Christ. The world lives without thinking of God, thinking of Christ, thinking of sin. All they think about is, as one old preacher said, get all you can all you get, and then set on the can. And that's the way the world is. Now, God save us from it. I've got family. That's all they think about. Crossing their fingers and having good luck. Oh, my. Well, then, I've got to hurry. And then I want you to look back over here in Romans 5:7. I think it's where I wanted to go. Yeah, back over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's see if that's right. Romans 5 and verse 7. You know, in our relationship to good works, there was a time that we wanted to have good works. Look what it says here in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. If a man was righteous, why would anybody want to die for him? Yet, and that word peradventure means maybe, perhaps. For a good man, some would even dare to die. But, oh no, that's not the way God deals with us. That's not the way He deals with all. You see, we weren't good men. We weren't righteous men. But until grace came, we trusted in our good works for salvation. We trusted in our good works for blessings. When grace came, it showed us our best were just filthy rags. All of our righteousness was nothing but filthy rags. And oh, that's all that we had was. We wanted to be blessed. Get up. Oh, my goodness. I get up and pray, God will give me a great blessing today. People say that all the time. Said, boy, if you'll do such and such, God will give you a great blessing. Oh, my. Let me tell you something. I've said it so many times. We never, ever earned a blessing in our life. All spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. If we got any blessings, it comes through Christ. Now we understand, by grace, not say good works, merit does not enter into them. But yet at the same time, we're not saved without them. But here's the difference between us and people that trust in works. There's not a soul in here believe they ever done a good work. Anybody in here want to stand up and say, boy, I've done a good work today? I've done a good work last week? Huh? No. No, you wouldn't do that. But oh, because we have been saved, we walk foreordained to walk in good works, what God said. And then let me give you another one. Romans 5. Look down here in verse 3 through 5. Let me see. Oh my, we have different relationships. Grace brought different relationships to our trials and our afflictions. He said, and not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, do we glory in tribulations, in our troubles, knowing that tribulation, it'll work patience. You got to wait on God. That's waits, I say, on the Lord. And patience, experience. And this word patience, it doesn't mean just sit around and wait. It means you go on living. You're going through these things and you go on living and you wait on God to come and bring the light, to bring the comfort, to bring the strength. And we experience that getting through that trouble, and that gives us hope. We will go through another and we get more experience. And oh my, when we were unconverted, our trials, we considered our enemies, but now they're our good. They're our good. More than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Oh my. You know, there's people in this congregation right now going through great trials. Great trials. They got bodily problems in their body. And they're burdens, they're trials. My mother-in-law, before she died, you know, for several years, she said, I get so tired of being sick. I'm so weary of being sick. I'm so tired of being sick. And people get tired of feeling bad. They get tired of being weary. They get tired of troubles. They get tired of having to deal with something all the time. But God, He says, we glory in that because that works for us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. They're just light afflictions compared to what Christ went through. They're nothing compared to what our Lord went through. And look what it says in Romans 8. 18. Let me show you this, and I'm gonna wind this thing up. I hope I'm not wearing you out. Oh my! Look what it says here in Romans 8:18. This verse of scripture right here has been a blessing to me. Not only me, but I know it's been a blessing to many people. I reckon, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, whatever you're going through right this minute, this present time, is not worthy to be compared with the glory which Christ is going to be revealed in us. Huh? There's an end to this world. That's what he's saying. The sufferings of this present time, don't even compare them. Don't even compare them. Oh my, well, I'm going to give you two and I'm going to do it within 3 or 4 minutes if I can. Look in 1 Corinthians 15:55. You know, we have a different relationship with death. Oh, such a different relationship with death. Look what it says here in Romans, 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, so we ain't got sin, so it can't sting us. It's like catching a bee and taking the sting out of it. Let him crawl all over your arm, can't sting you anymore, and that's the way death is. Christ took the stinger out of death. And then look what he goes on to say now. The strength of sin is the law. Well, we're not under law, but under grace. But all thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before grace came, death was called the grim, grim reaper. You know what he is now? He's a conquered foe. He's a friend that's going to come and take our last breath. And we're going to be carried away from you. Oh, death, you ain't going to bother me. Oh, grave, I got victory over you. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a grim reaper. He's a friend. That's why we rejoice. I'm wound up, I reckon. I can't help myself tonight. I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to shut up. Most of the time I'm saying I'm preaching too long. But, you know, when Scott Richards, the Lord called Scott home, Henry Mahan prayed every day for him and Scott Richards, and Lord, take us home, take us home. Let us go to sleep tonight and wake up with you. Every day he prayed that for years. Well, Scott got to go home before Henry did. But I remember going up to see Scott. That just a few days right before the Lord took him home. But when I walked up and looked at his casket, and I walked up to his casket, and three of his boys were standing there. And I went to laughing. I went to rejoicing. I got happy. I said, you fellas understand what I'm doing, don't you? He said, I'm so happy for him. Thank God. Bless the Lord. He ain't got this world. When he died, he had a colostomy on his side he had had for years. He had a catheter on his leg. He was a sick man. And the Lord took him home. I walked up there and I just started rejoicing. I told his son, you all understand what I'm doing? He said, I understand completely. Because it's a rejoicing thing. It's a rejoicing thing. And I said, you know, we put Bill in the ground. I patted that casket and said, I'll see you real, real soon, my dear brother. I'll see you soon. Death don't bother us. Death don't scare us. And when it comes sitting on our trail, God helping us, we'll face it by the grace of God like I've seen so many before. And I'll tell you something else. And I was telling my dear wife this other day, I said, you know, when we go through troubles in this congregation, that's one thing that I'm so thankful for. When we got somebody in our families dying, this church is always rallied around, and they come, and they bring food, and they come and visit, and they pray for you, and they care for you, and they ask if you need anything, and how would you make it if it was nobody but you and the one person you died, if you didn't have believers coming helping you? Comforting you, praying for you, visiting with you, talking with you, bringing food for your sick husband or wife. What causes that? Grace. Love. Huh? Oh my. He's our friend now. And he's going to come and usher us into the very presence of our glorious God one of these days. Marvin Stoniker put a song in his bulletin 2 weeks ago. Don't weep for me at my grave. Did you see it? We're going to have to get that out and sing it. Don't weep for me at my grave. Don't cry over my grave. Oh, my goodness. Well, last one is we have a different relationship because of the grace wherein we stand to judgment. Judgment's not coming after us. We've already been judged. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Huh? The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall not come into condemnation, but into everlasting life. Oh, my. No wonder we sang that old song, Grace is a Charming Sound. Oh, well, I hope I didn't wear you out, but I've got to stop. If I don't stop, I'll just keep talking. I'm like one of them fellas, you know, them toys you used to get as a kid. They could wind them up in the back, turn them loose. Somebody's wound me up tonight. I don't want to quit. That's awful, ain't it? Oh, but it's rare for me to preach that long. I hope it is anyway. But I've been. You all make it easy. You make it easy on me. You really, really do. Thank you. Oh, our Father, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how you blessed us today. Oh, how you gave us your Spirit and power. How kind, how tender, how loving you've been with us. As a father loves his children, takes care of his children. You've took care of us so well today. You take care of us so well every day. And I thank you for it. Thank you for the attention the dear saints paid tonight. Pray for your blessings upon their homes, upon their hearts, upon their bodies. And Lord, meet the needs. Oh God, there's so many have needs. Please, 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 oh God, for Christ's sake, meet their needs. Forgive us, O Lord, of everything that's so unlike you. Bring glory to yourself through us. Cause us to keep cleaving. Cause us to keep believing. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. 318. We're going to sing it and you'll be at liberty to go. 318. 318. We'll stand saying this and then that when we get done with it, you can go to the house. I think it's 318. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Oh, I need thee.
night. God bless you. Appreciate you very much.